Thank you, Pastor Terry. I will get you that ice cream, I promise, later. It is good to be back this morning. It's wonderful to be with you in the house of the Lord. As my brother said, as I said last time I was here, yes, I'm happy to be here with my wife, who's here this morning, and also my daughter, who's with my parents upstairs. We are going to move our residence here to Coimbatore, or we'll still be involved in our church in Gurgaon and help with the vision of IPA. Amen? As I was trying to remember this morning, when was the last time I shared God's word in our English service? And I think it's been a long time. But it's good to be here. It's good to see all of you this morning. A lot of familiar faces, a lot of new faces, which shows the church is growing, God is moving, and we're happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? I'm also happy to see my good friend Blessin here. I don't know if you've met him. Blessin has come from our church in Gurgaon, and he's from Ludhiana to help us with the vision of IPA. Wave your hands, Blessin. Great to see you. Shall we give him also a round of applause and encourage him this morning? Last time I was here, I was saying I was going to Kolkata, Nepal, and Siliguri, and we're happy to say we have started Bethel City Church in Siliguri, West Bengal. Amen. Thought you'd give a good round of applause. Come on, give a good hand clap this morning. All right. Amen. Are you happy this morning? That's good. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you alive this morning? Are you dead this morning? Any miserable people here? Well, this is good church. All right. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Jonah, and we'll go all the way to chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 5 onwards. Jonah, chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 5. If you've reached there, you can say an amen. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we have kindly put it on the screen for you, but you can get a Bible at the bookstore, all right? Jonah, chapter 4, verse 5. Are you there? Thank you. All right, we'll read from verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" And with that anticlimactic conclusion, the book of Jonah is over. As I start this morning, I want to tell you, don't tell your story too soon. Because if you tell your story too soon, sometimes you won't even know what your story is about. You might be going through a difficult time right now, through a tough time right now. But if you tell your story too soon, you will only focus on the pain and not the purpose of it. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't tell your story too soon." Yeah. We come to the story of Jonah, and it's really impossible to do Jonah justice in one sermon, but we're going to try this morning. The story of Jonah begins like this. Jonah is running away from God. And before we start judging Jonah and getting too hard of Jonah, I want to tell you, if you were in Jonah's place, you would run too. Because the people that God had asked him to go to, we would call in modern day terminology such people terrorists. God asked him to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, one of the most barbaric people. I mean, these people would hang dead skeletons, skulls of the people they had killed, as wall decorations in their city, you know. So God told Jonah, hey, go preach a message there. And Jonah runs away. So every time we hear about Jonah, most of you will potentially hear how he ran from the Lord. In fact, even the Bible says it like this. It says, he ran away from the Lord. But at that time, Jonah probably didn't feel like he was running from the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? Anybody here ever tried to run away from God's purpose for your life? I know you're already holy in this place. You would never do something like that. But maybe you had a season in your life where you knew God wanted you to do something, but you didn't want to do it. So you did the opposite of what God wanted you to do. And then you realize, you know what? It was actually easier to do what God told me to do than to do what God did not tell me to do. Some of you got that. It's okay. But in the story of Jonah, he goes to a port called Joppa, and God had told him to go to Nineveh. But instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish. And here's what interested me when you study about Jonah's journey. If you take a map and look at Jonah's journey, where God told him to go was only 500 miles from where he was. But where he went was 2,500 miles from where he was. Do you know that it's harder to disobey God than to actually obey God? It's a great point. Hallelujah. I really wish some of us would give as much creativity to obeying God than we do to disobeying God. So some of us are very creative sinners. Some of us even have two phones to sin. Hallelujah. Looking at me weird. I'll go preach to this side. I don't know why it is that we would rather run 2,500 miles away from God than 500 miles to our assignments. Because I think when we are still in our story, we don't have perspective. And perspective only comes with reflection. Only when we look back at things do things begin to make sense in our lives. You have to understand, the Bible was not live tweeted. Amen? There was no continuous Facebook updates in the Bible. The book of Jonah was not written while he was running. This is not Jonah taking his phone and says, hey guys, here's a Facebook update. I'm running away from God. Yeah. Hashtag running from God. Hashtag swallowed by a whale. You know? There's no hashtag in the Bible. There's no Facebook update. If Jonah had written the book when he was running, he would have said, yeah, I'm running from God, but I'm being practical. I'm being logical, you know. That's what he would have written. Touch somebody and tell them, don't tell your story too soon. Yeah. Because it's only after Jonah did the will of God, experienced a lot of different things, saw the result of his rebellion, experienced the transformative power of God, he was able to say, I was running from God. It was only after a storm hit his life, he knew that he was running from God. But we Christians, we like to blame everything on the devil. Hallelujah. Why did you come late to church today? Oh, pastor, the devil made a traffic jam. Some of us think Lucifer has made it his sole mission to destroy my life. I tell people, Lucifer is far too busy to be concerned about you. When you win about 100 souls to church, baptize them, then maybe he'll have time for you. But can we talk about this? Sometimes the longer you stay in church, you talk more about the devil than you talk about God. Everything's the devil's fault. But we need to take responsibility for our actions. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says that Jonah went to Joppa and he got on a ship and he paid the fare because somebody said, anytime you run from God, it will cost you something. He went down to Joppa, the Bible says. He went down to Tarshish because when you go away from God, you will always go down in life. Hallelujah. I think Jonah was probably halfway in his journey. And all of a sudden, a storm hits. And Jonah is sleeping in the boat. I like to imagine Jonah was halfway. And you know, sometimes God will allow a storm in your life because he loves you too much. Because he doesn't want you to keep going in the wrong direction. So he would rather send a storm to stop you so that you can get back into the right direction. And Jonah's going to Tarshish and a storm comes. And what is Jonah doing? He's sleeping. And these sailors, all of a sudden, they realize that the reason they were facing the storm is not because of something they did, but because of something this man, this rebellious prophet did. And he's sleeping. So they go and they wake him up and they say, "Hey, Jonah, maybe you can call upon your God." And he says, "Yeah, I can. But it won't do any good. Because what good is it when I'm running away from God, when I'm disobeying God? How will God hear my prayers?" So he says, "Here's the thing you must do. Take me and throw me off the boat." And as soon as they did, the storm subsided. Can we stop here a moment? And I want to tell some of you this morning, the reason that you are facing a storm in your life is not because of something you did, it is because of who you have on your boat. You need to throw Jonah off the boat. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Come on. Your Jonah can be your boyfriend. Your Jonah can be your girlfriend. Your Jonah can be a wrong relationship in your life. The reason you're facing a storm is because Jonah is still in your boat. In fact, I'm tempted to preach an entire sermon, "Throw Jonah off the boat." You know? Some of you are saying, "Well, Pastor, I don't have Jonah in my boat." But you have him in your phone. You've been calling Jonah. You've been texting Jonah all the time. And no wonder your life is going down. But today is a new day. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You know, one of the most spiritual things you can do is take your phone after the service, swipe it to the right, and touch that red button that says delete. Look at somebody and say, "Delete." Yeah. That's one of the most spiritual things some of you could do this morning. Can you tell I like to preach about Jonah? I like Jonah. Because I see myself in Jonah. I see myself sometimes rebelling against God. I see myself trying to run 2,500 miles away from God's purpose. Can I have that water? I see myself trying to run away from God and then realize there's only so much you can run from God until you hit a roadblock. Because the psalmist says, "God, where can I go away from your presence? When I ascend the heavens, you're there. When I make my bed in the depths of the earth, you're still there." I've learned that you can't run away from God. There's only so much you can run until you hit a roadblock. I've learned there are some wrong relationships in your life. And I'm not just talking about a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Amen? We're past that. I'm talking about people who pull you away from God. You need to throw Jonah off the boat. But I find it interesting that Jonah was effective to ministering to people he didn't even like. Because when he finally opened his mouth and preached the message, the Bible says there was a great repentance in Assyria. There was a great repentance because God is not a respecter of people. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're yellow or green or pink. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short. The Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will receive the compassion of God even to the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. But I think we're like Jonah. Sometimes we come to all kinds of conclusions about who we think God can bless, who God cannot bless. who God can use, who God cannot use. Oh, you're wearing dress like that, God can use you. Oh, God can use you. We come to conclusions about what situation God can work in, what situation God cannot work in, who God can save, who God cannot save. But Jonah, he learned a powerful lesson that day, that there is nobody too difficult for God to save. It could even be the most challenging person, the most rebellious person. It could be the chief of sinners. But I want to tell you, the grace of God is able to save every single person who calls upon the name of the Lord. God can save your father. He can save your mother. He can save your uncle. He can save your aunt. He can save your brother. He can save your sister. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he is able to deliver them all. Hallelujah. But mostly, what we know about Jonah is he spent 3 days in the belly, and the Bible calls it a great fish, and we call it a whale. I really don't know, because I'm not privy to the communication between God and the whale. How did God get the whale to be at the right place, at the right position, at the right time to know this is where Jonah's going to drown? You ever thought about that? How did God talk to them? Maybe God used echo transmission. If you've seen Animal Planet, go get Jonah. The whale responded, okay. No love from here. Okay. But isn't it amazing that the whale had more sense to obey God than Jonah did? I want to know who I'm preaching to this morning. Is there anybody here that God has rescued you from a situation that was caused by your own disobedience? Yeah? See, a few heads nodded. Did God send a whale to pick you up? See, God saved Jonah, but the accommodations were not luxurious. God could have sent a cruise ship to pick him up, the Royal Caribbean Cruise. God could have sent a Freightliner to pick him up, but instead God sent a whale. You know why? Because if God makes it too comfortable, the moment he delivers you, you will go back to the same sin that he delivered you from. So God says, I'm going to put you in a dark place for some time so that you would know what disobedience feels like. But what I've noticed, though, sometimes is we miss God's provision because we're too picky. We don't like the package that God sent to pick us up. I heard about the story of a man who was drowning in the sea. He said, help me, Lord, save me. A boat came. Come on, jump on the boat. Nope. Lord, save me. After some time, a ship came. Come on, jump on the boat. Nope. Lord, save me. After some time, a helicopter came. Come on, we'll rescue you. Nope. Lord, save me! And finally, he drowned into the sea. He died. Went to heaven. Lord, why didn't you save me? God said, I sent the boat. I sent the ship. I sent a helicopter. But you didn't like any of that. We're like that sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we're saying, God, help me. God, save me. And then we get ungrateful for God's provision. Come on, somebody. Isn't it interesting how quickly we go, God, if you just help me. God, if you just be with me. God, if you just touch me. And somewhere along the journey, instead of being grateful that God sent a fish to pick you up, you start complaining, oh, God, it smells inside this fish. But I want to tell you this morning, if you would learn to be grateful. And that's what Jonah did. Jonah chapter 2. You know, he's complaining for a lot of verses. He's blaming. He's talking about seaweed around his head. He's describing in detail the distress that he's going to. But all of a sudden, in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, we'll read it now, there's a shift that happens inside of him. Can you say a shift? Come on, can you say loudly, shift? Yeah, be careful with that word. All right. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. You can read with me. It says, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the very next verse after Jonah got grateful, even though he was in a hard place, after Jonah got grateful, even in the belly of a fish, when Jonah got grateful, God delivered him. And I want to tell you, if you would learn to be grateful, no matter what horrible pit you might be in today, if you would learn to lift up your hands, open your voices, and praise Him this morning, God is able to deliver you from wherever you are. Gratitude is the gateway into the provisions of God. Can I hear an amen this morning? Come on, can I hear a loud amen? Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the Lord provided a fish. I say it again, the Lord provided a fish. Do you think Jonah saw it as provision at that time? He probably didn't see it as provision. He didn't go, oh Lord, thank you for this provision. You know, at that time, being in the belly of a fish was a problem. But it's only through reflection that we see sometimes today's problem is tomorrow's provision. The book of Jonah is about 4 chapters long. And there's one Hebrew word used 4 times to describe 4 different events in Jonah's life. And that word is manna. Can you say with me, manna? When you translate it, the NIV translated as provide. And if there's one thing I've learned in walking with God, in pastoring a church, it is that God can be trusted to provide my needs. Have you learned that yet this morning? If you've learned that, if you experienced that, I want you to say it loud with me so that everybody can hear you. Come on, say it with me. Say, the Lord is my provider. Yeah, is He your provider this morning? God is our provider. And the Bible says 4 things. Number one, the God provided a fish. And the word used here is manna. It's the same word used when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and God provided them this heavenly food. They called it manna because they said God provided it. It was manna. But do you know what the children of Israel did when they received this manna? They complained. Because God's provision doesn't come wrapped in your preference. I'm going to keep preaching whether you say amen or not. God's provision doesn't come wrapped in your preference. The children of Israel complained about the manna. Jonah complained about the well. It wasn't until the story was over. See, many scholars believe Jonah didn't write the book of Jonah, but the book of Jonah was written based on the report that Jonah gave after he did what God called him to do. So Jonah's telling the story, and he said, at that time, I thought it was misery, but now I see it was manna. At that time, I thought it was a problem, but now I see it was God's provision in my life. Can I hear an amen this morning? Come on, can I hear a loud amen this morning? It says, the Lord provided a fish. And Jonah goes and preaches to the Assyrian people. And as I said, there was a great repentance. And the people repented. And God gave them a second chance. But Jonah doesn't like it. He liked it when God gave him a second chance. He didn't like it when God gave them a second chance. Sometimes we Christians, we like God to provide for us and God to punish other people. The Bible says this made Jonah mad. Do you know where a lot of our misery comes from? It's because we have our own ideal imagination of how life is supposed to be. And when something doesn't match up to our imagination, we feel we have a right to be angry. I was supposed to get married at 25. God, I'm 25 and a half now. Jonah goes out and he sits down and he makes a shelter because it was a hot day. Now, if you live in Delhi, you know what a hot day is. Coimbatore? Nah. Delhi, you know what a hot day is. Jonah goes, and this is important. He goes outside of the city. He goes outside of his assignment. and he makes a shelter. Can I say something? It doesn't matter what kind of shelter you make. If you're outside of God's assignment, that shelter will not sustain. And he's sitting outside there, and he makes a shelter. He's mad. He's got a bad attitude. But if we've learned anything about God, is that God doesn't wait for your attitude to get right before he blesses you. God sent a fish to save Jonah while he was still in disobedience. The Bible says God loved us while we were still sinners. So God sends a fish to pick up Jonah. And Jonah sitting under that shelter that he made. And this is, God does something interesting. And this is where the second word, manna, comes. Jonah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God provided a leafy plant and made it grow on Jonah's bald head, and it gave him some shade. Now, the Bible doesn't say Jonah had a bald head, but I like to imagine Jonah had a bald head, because it just dramatizes the story. When you have a bald head and the sun is scorching on your head, you know, you have no hair to protect you, you know. I like to imagine things like that. So Jonah, if any of you are bald in your head, please forgive me. I don't mean it like that. Receive hair in the name of Jesus. Jonah's, we love you, Andy. I'm going to preach to this side. Jonah is sitting there, and a plant grows over Jonah's head. And boy, he loves that plant. He doesn't like people, but he likes plants. And, you know, this is sometimes, you know, Jonah doesn't get it. Because even though God saved him from the belly of the fish, he was not delivered from himself. The most miserable place to be trapped inside is not in the stomach of a fish. It is inside of ourselves. Inside of our selfishness, inside of our own self. There are many Christians who've been delivered from sin, but they've not been delivered from themselves. Are you with me this morning? And so Jonah, he goes and he's sitting in the shade, right? And a plant comes over him and he loves that plant. He's like, oh God, isn't this plant wonderful? I love plants. God says, what about those people? Oh, people are unpredictable, Lord. But I love plants. God says, I know you love the plant. That's why I gave you the plant. But now, because you love the plant more than people, I need to take the plant away. And look at the third thing that God provides. First thing God provides is a well, right? Second thing, a plant. And the third thing God provides is a worm. Now, if you and I were writing this story, we wouldn't use the word manna to describe the worm. Wait, what do you mean a worm? I've heard about Jonah and the whale, but what about the worm? Where did the word come from? Right? How can you say God provided a worm? But God provided a worm, and this made Jonah furious. Because not only did the worm go and eat away the plant, but God provides a fourth thing in Jonah chapter 4, verse 8. It says he provided a scorching wind. It was not just an easy wind. It's a wind that beats on you. What is God doing? He's making sure that Jonah cannot stay outside the city of his assignment anymore. He has to go back into that city. At that time, Jonah is furious. God, why did you take my plan away? Some of you might be furious right now in your season. God, why did you take my boyfriend away? Or why did you take my loved one away? Why did you take my job away? Why did you allow me to go through that difficult season in my life? Listen, Jonah, don't tell your story too soon. Because when you look at your life through the lens of a God who loves you, you'll find that the whale and the worm were sent to accomplish God's purpose in your life. It was only after Jonah came back and he's recounting the story. He's telling what happened in Nineveh. He says, now I understand. At that time, I thought it was a misery to be in the belly of a fish. But now I see it was manna. That time, I thought it was a problem. But now I see it was God's provision. I see that the whale and the worm were both sent from the hand of the same God who loves me and who knows what is best for my life. That's why James writes, he says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kinds. When you see worms crawling up and destroying the very plant that has given you comfort. God is not trying to kill you. He's trying to keep you alive. Because nothing can grow in your comfort zone. God allows things in your life so that he can make you accomplish his purpose for your life. There's another verse I like from the same book of James. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that comes into your life can be a gift if you know what to do with it. But you won't know the purpose of the worm if you write your story while you're still in it. Can I hear an amen? I want to finish quickly. I'll finish with this. As I was thinking about Jonah, I began to imagine what would it have been like if Jonah and Jesus had a conversation. Jonah would have told Jesus, Jesus, you don't understand. I suffered very much. For you, it was easy. You were the Son of God, but I had to go down to a people, my enemies, and preach a message of repentance. And Jesus would have said, oh, really? Tell me more. Because I kind of did the same thing. I left the comfort of heaven, the prestige of heaven, the pristine of heaven, to go down to a people, and they did not receive me, but they nailed me to the cross. But from the cross, I spoke the words of forgiveness that became redemption for all mankind. Jesus would have said, oh, really, Jonah? Come on, tell me more. Jonah would have said, well, God, you don't understand. I had to spend 3 days in a dark place. 3 days I spent in the belly of a fish, and then I was spit out by a whale. God, it wasn't like that for you. Jesus would have said, oh, really? Because after I died, they buried me for 3 days in the grave. But a whale did not spit me out. I rose up from the grave, and I marched into hell, and I defeated Satan, and I lifted my hands, and I said, behold, I am alive, and I have the keys of heaven and earth and the keys of kingdom with me. We need to see that Jesus, he is our greater Jonah. Hallelujah. He is our rescuer. He came from heaven to preach the message of God, the message of love, the message of repentance, to deliver us from where we are. We can depend on Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? I want to finish with one more verse this morning. In fact, I'll call the band up to come and get set up this morning. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In fact, let's do this morning. Let's stand up, we'll read this verse, and we'll end it. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. Are you there? Let's read. And we know that all things are good. Is that what it says? No? Say, That's not what it says, right? Does it say that? Come on, what does it say? And we know that all things are good. No. That's not my message this morning. That's not what I'm preaching. Paul's not naive. God's not naive. There's nothing beautiful about the worm when it is chewing through your plant. But what I am saying is the God of the whale is also the God of the worm. The whale and the worm and the will of God. The whale and the worm had one job, that is to get Jonah back into his assignment. Once his shade was gone, Jonah had no choice but to go back to the place where God wanted him to go. Maybe even in your life today, you might be facing some worms in your life, some tough seasons eating away your comfort. God sends that so that he can bring you back to his purpose. Come on, let's read Romans 8:28. And he says, and we know that in all things, everybody say all things. Come on, shout it out, all things. In all the whales, in all the worms, come on. In all the good things and all the bad things. In all the big things, in all the little things. In all the things that feel good. In all the things that hurt like hell. God says, I'm going to use everything, every destructive thing, every hurtful thing. I'm going to use it together for good, for the purpose, for those who are called according to my name. Come on, for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Can I hear an amen this morning? Do you love God this morning? Come on, do you love God this morning? Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then all things work together for your good. It doesn't matter if it's a whale. It doesn't matter if it's a worm. It doesn't matter if it's a plant going over your head. All things work together for the good of those who love God. Do you love God? Come on, do you love God? Come on, lift up your hands all over this place. Begin to praise him for a few moments. Begin to worship him this morning. Tell him, Lord, I love you. Because when you worship him, when you praise him, gratitude opens the gate. Come on, lead us in a song.